Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning,
Yeah.
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7. The Game.
Come on.
In a loss like that to the Heat from the Golden State Warriors when they go 113-101, and you're watching that and you're just like, it's the same old Warriors for what it's been this entire season. Well, you kind of forget that the majority of this roster has only played together for one day. Oh, man. That's what happens, though, when you go up against a team who is going for a playoff spot. I don't know why. There's something about the Heat that I just really like. So I'm really hoping they could make a run for the East this year. It seems like, I mean, the Bucks are just blowing everybody out right now by double digits. It seems like no one can stop the Bucks. But I've always been a big fan of their roster. And now they added Andre Iguodala along with guys like Jimmy Butler, who had 21 points last night. As long as you got guys like a Duncan Robinson, who was a plus 28 on the floor. And I was talking about that guy yesterday. You can't leave that guy open. You can't give him an inch of space. As long as you got guys like a Bam Adebayo at center, who brings something a little different to the table. He's not that tall. That's why Marquese Chris yesterday was able to get up so many dunks. Marquese Chris having a great past couple of games. For the past two, shout out Anthony Slater for this stat, but for the past two games, he's had 8 lobs so far, and a few of them coming from Draymond. And also, Andrew Wiggins yesterday with not that great of a first half. He was pretty much shut down, but in the second half, he picked things up and ended up totaling 18 points and was plus 6 on the night. He was only 2 for 7 from 3, though, and you hope those numbers can improve. But he had 3 assists from Draymond Green in last night's game, and those are a couple of things that should at least make you look forward to what's to come in the offseason. And hopefully, and I got some sound to play from Stephen Curry. I'm glad we got this sound from Steph, because he's officially put his voice to these rumors about when he would be coming back. So if there's anyone we're going to believe, I hate this saying, it's straight from the horse's mouth. So that's where we're at right now. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795, 888-957-9570. If you want to get in on the conversation, would love to get your thoughts on anything from the game last night. It was not a great one. I mean, the Warriors, you know, they were hanging around in the first quarter, but in the second quarter, that's when they started out with their rotation with guys from the G League, like Jeremy Pargo, who showed some hustle, Juan Toscano-Anderson, who also shows hustle, but then you brought in Alan Smilagic as well, and Kevon Looney was the only veteran on the floor, and that's the lineup they're throwing out there where you're wondering where they can even think about getting scoring, and the Miami Heat were able to take advantage, and Warriors went on a nice little run in the third quarter, but in the end, in the fourth quarter, the Heat were just too much, and their talent was just too much, and that's totally understandable with what they got going on right now. A little later on in the show, coming up in this next segment, got a couple of non-Bay Area sports things that I'd like to get into, and this was making the rounds yesterday among Major League Baseball. There has been a new proposal from Rob Manfred. It hasn't come directly from Rob Manfred, but we're just going to assume that it has. And basically, they're trying to propose a whole new playoff format by the time 2022 rolls around. So I just wanted to get the jump on that. And then there's a certain free agent quarterback, veteran free agent quarterback who it's confusing as to why he still even wants to play. And looking at his options, it doesn't look like he can win a Super Bowl anytime soon. But I do want to discuss this free agent quarterback. I'm not going to reveal who that is. You'll find out who that is coming up at around 5:15, 5:20, around that time. Chilton Autobody text line, though, 95795. Would love to get any of your thoughts on this game from last night. It was cool with Andre Iguodala making his return, and they did the little video tribute before the game, and it started at the end. The game ended up starting at like 7:45, but I thought the video tribute was cool. You know, it wasn't really anything totally special. It's not like they put out they completely put the lights out at Shea Center and there was all this like epic music with a bunch of slow-mo shots. They had about a week to put this thing together because they realized Andre was coming to their town. And I thought they did a pretty good job with it. The whole Stephen Clay thing where Clay was the one who went out and gave on the speech to Andre Iguodala to introduce him, and Stephen Clay were on the bench playing rock, paper, scissors to see who would go out there and make the speech. And really, I was surprised by Klay Thompson's speech there at the beginning. The fact that it was an impromptu sort of speech, he didn't really plan out anything that he was going to say. I have to give Klay Thompson credit there. He's known as the quiet guy, so when he went out there and he didn't stutter through his words, he kind of just gave a nice little introduction. I had to give Klay props on that. I mean, presidential voting's coming up in a few months here. I think that Klay Thompson, 2020, I mean, I wouldn't mind being able to get that going. But last night, though, again, it's just one of those nights where there are a few pieces here or there that you can maybe look forward to. The development of Kevon Looney, where he's at coming back from his injury. You hope to see some progress from him. This whole Marquise Chris deal, Lowe was in here just before 5 a.m., and he was saying, man, it's like when he was put on waivers, he was available to these 29 other teams. Why did no one want to pick him up? And I think it was just because he really I don't think people understood what he could do, and Steve Kerr clearly has found something for him in this offense. Him and Draymond seem to work very well together. He's always around the rim. There were a couple of rebounds he had last night where he played like he wanted it more. There was a play, though, that I was a really big fan of, and there's just one in the third. It was in the middle of the third quarter. It was in the middle of their run, and Andrew Wiggins had an opportunity to just drive the drive the ball to the rack, and he didn't find an opening. He didn't find a lane, so he passed it back to Draymond beyond the 3-point line, and then Draymond specifically asked Chris to set a screen, and then had Andrew Wiggins try and get open again, and basically said, "Go ahead, young fella, try and take it again," to try and get him used to this thing. And then he went up, and he ended up getting an and-one out of it. I thought it was actually pretty cool. And for the Chilton Autobody text on here at 95795, the quarterback that I'm going to talk about, yeah, you guessed who it is. I'll be talking about that coming up a little bit here. Steve Kerr, he talked in the post game. I'm going to play his full presser. It's a pretty quick one. And he just talked about what it was like having Andre Iguodala back and also the second game for Andrew Wiggins as a Golden State Warrior.
Steve, how much do you sense guys trying to acclimate to each other and figure out their roles?
Yeah, I thought there was some of that in the first half. But what disappointed me was that affected our competitiveness. I thought our body language was really bad the first half. And there was some frustration, you know, based on shots not going in. And, you know, it is a legitimate excuse to say, well, we've only been together for 2 days and all that stuff. But there's never an excuse for not competing and playing to a level where you're expected to compete. And I thought that's what happened in the first half. And I thought in the second half, the guys were great, competed, played with pace, played with energy, climbed back in the game. And in the end, we just didn't have enough. We were playing against a team that needed the win badly. They'd lost three in a row. We talked about that before the game, and they came out and took it to us right away.
Marquise has had two really good games back-to-back. Do you think at all, him settling his contract stuff, getting on the full-time roster, do you think that settled him a little bit?
Probably. You can ask him. I just think all in all, he's had a good season. We've seen the growth throughout, even when we released him, a month ago, whatever it was. Nobody wanted to do that, but it was all circumstantial based on our tax situation. And so we were all thrilled when we got him back. And I felt like he just continued his growth through the last few weeks. And then the good thing was to, get him to a full-time contract. And now he's practicing with us. And so things have settled. So I would guess that's a factor for him. But, I would ask him that.
Steve, how would you evaluate Wiggins' night? He had a huge third quarter, a little quieter other parts of the game.
Yeah, I thought his play reflected ours. We got nothing going in the first half. And then the third quarter when we started really competing and playing with pace, that's when Andrew got going. And, he's brand new here. He's had literally one practice and one shoot-around. And so he's just figuring out his surroundings. We're just figuring out lineups. So this is why I think it's a big deal that we got him now, rather than this summer or whatever. I mean, just to get 30 games under his belt going into next season will be huge for Andrew and for us, because we're seeing things on tape that he needs to work on. And then he's learning to play with our guys, and he'll have some thoughts for us, and we'll work together, and he'll make a lot of improvement over the next couple months.
Yeah, they just got to figure out these lineups and what they got going on. Like that, this team's only played for two games together. They got a little bit of time to figure things out. But there was some sound though that did surface from yesterday, and this gave me a little bit of hope. I didn't expect to see Steph Curry even play in this season, but Curry was interviewed yesterday, and he talked about the plan for coming back.
Is your hope that you'll be back early March?
That's the plan. Been the plan since surgery, knowing the timeline with the injury as severe as it was. So I'm not rushing, but I'm setting a goal that hopefully I can meet first week of March to get back out on the floor, join my teammates, and hopefully end the season on a strong note.
So hopefully come back early March, plan till the middle of April, and that'll give you an idea of how this team could actually go in the season following. Once you get Steph on the floor and Draymond and Andrew Wiggins, I think that gives us as Warrior fans something to look forward to, because right now they're currently at the bottom of the NBA standings at 12-42. The Cavs are 13-40. The Hawks are 15-40. The Wolves are 16-36. The Knicks are 17-37. And the Hornets are 17-36. So 12-42 is where we're at right now. I don't know if they'll continue on that pace, but also if they do continue on this pace, and I'm just going to say this now, but if they do have the worst record in the NBA, let's not be like Knicks fans last year and just assume that we're going to get the number one overall pick. Let's just not assume right away that we're going to be getting a James Wiseman out of Memphis, okay? I do not want to do that. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, Zion Williamson is doing so well with the Pelicans right now. I couldn't imagine being a Knicks fan and watching that and seeing that Williamson, even though, I mean, he is also a power forward. I don't know if the Knicks needed another power forward, since they got like 12 of them out of 15 on their roster. But still, seeing a guy like that, you just don't want to end up like Knicks fans where you're expecting the number one overall pick and then you get the third in the draft. Okay, coming up, I want to talk about this new baseball playoff format and introduce you to the idea and what's to come in 2022. I also want to talk about this free agent quarterback who became a free agent yesterday. He's a veteran, and I just want to talk a little bit about his legacy within the NFL. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
The pregame show on 95.7 The Game is presented by Golden State Lumber. With locations across the Bay Area, we offer next day delivery. Now that's a winning game plan. GoldenStateLumber.com. All right, so I want to start out with this NFL news in a little bit. I want to get to this new MLB playoff proposal expansion thing that Rob Manfred tried to propose. It's baffling. But from the Chilton Auto Body text line, though, at 95795, from the 408, Philip Rivers to the Colts. And also from the 408, Rivers is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. So Philip Rivers and the LA Chargers have officially parted ways, and that's the free agent quarterback that I did want to talk about in this upcoming segment. And I just want to go off the beaten path for a little bit because there's not much going on within the Bay Area. But this dude, I find it interesting that guys like Brady and Philip Rivers, even though they're free agents, they want to continue to keep on playing. And you got a guy like Eli Manning, who's been playing just as long as any of them, about the same amount of time as Rivers, but Brady a little longer. And he decides to up and retire at a time when he feels like he is done. And Philip Rivers, to me, now, last season, not this one, but the last season, he actually was on a track to being an MVP candidate, believe it or not. But this past year, it just showed that the age had gotten him over in LA, and it baffles me that he wants to continue to play, even though he's got all that family. He's got everything that involves all of that. But also, he just proved last season that, I mean, there's not much left in the tank when it comes to Philip Rivers. I mean, they went 5-11 last year. He had a 66 completion percentage. He had 4,615 yards. He had 23 touchdowns and 20 interceptions. And 1,000 of those yards, almost 1,000 of them, 996 to be exact, almost 1,000 of them went to Austin Eckler, his running back. So really, he was just throwing screen passes. And a couple of, Austin Eckler would run a couple of wheel routes, and there was some accuracy involved with those. So a couple of tough passes here and there, but a majority of it went to his running back. He also had Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Hunter Henry. He has very capable weapons over there in L.A. And these teams that could be suitors for Philip Rivers coming up. You got teams like the Chicago Bears. You got a team like the Las Vegas Raiders, which is crazy to think that Philip Rivers would be even in the thought of that, but the Raiders are a very viable landing spot for him. You got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who need to make a decision on Jameis Winston. I don't know how big a fan Bruce Arians is of him, but the thing is, it's not like Philip Rivers is guaranteed to win a Super Bowl he's not likely to ever win a Super Bowl. And when it comes to these sort of moves, these guys, they don't care about their legacy. They don't care about how they're going to be viewed. I don't think Philip Rivers, I mean, he would have loved to have won a Super Bowl championship for sure. And in his own mind, he would love to be a Super Bowl champion. But to us, we're going to look at these athletes from their legacy. The whole conversation when he's about to retire is, should Philip Rivers be a Hall of Famer? And it's going to come back much like Eli Manning. It's going to be 50-50, right? But I think it's interesting that players like this, players like Phillip Rivers, who have proven on the football field that they love the game so damn much. You saw how emotional he was in his final press conference with the Chargers this year. But, like, I find it fascinating when these guys, they don't care so much about how we view them. He's just doing it for the love of football. So when, you know, when I hear that he's going to be a free agent, that he's going to be looking for other options, and he's doing it at 30-plus years old, I'm thinking to myself, why would you want to do that? I mean, it's not like you're going to win another Super Bowl, or you're not going to win. I keep on saying another. It's not like you're going to win a Super Bowl. And then, but then I'm thinking from his perspective, he just wants to play football. He doesn't care if there's a new wave of young quarterbacks that are making their way up in football. He doesn't care if his era is over. He just wants to continue playing. I find that very interesting. He's always showed that he has heart. He talks a lot. You know, that was made true by that little trash-talking segment he had with the Jacksonville Jaguars defensive end, Yannick Ngakoue, earlier this year when he's basically saying, 90-yard touchdown! That was a really good impression, by the way. But, you know, it's just interesting. And from the 925, the Chargers were beat up last season, but not really on offense, though. You know? Melvin Gordon was out for a little bit of time, and they had only Austin Eckler, but, I mean, it's just like when you got guys like Keenan Allen and Mike Williams for a majority of the time, and you can't really do anything with it, and you could be going to the Chicago Bears, and you know what? I would love it if Rivers went to the Bears, because I'm a big fan of Allen Robinson, and I think Allen Robinson has kind of gotten that Andre Johnson, Calvin Johnson sort of treatment, where he hasn't played with a good quarterback in his entire career, and yet he still puts up numbers, and people underrate him due to that because he doesn't put up the fantasy stats that you want him to put up. But Allen Robinson's a very good wide receiver, and I think he deserves a quarterback that can actually get him the football. And Phillip Rivers has proven that he can get his number one guy is the football, but also just winning games. It's brutal for him right now. And I don't know. I don't know. I just find it that he wants to continue playing even at his age, even though he probably understands that he's on the downside of his career. I mean, that last season that he had where he was putting up MVP type numbers, I mean, his confidence was sky high at that time, but this last season probably proved some stuff to him. From the 925, Rivers is better than Carr. From the 408, what about a shocker, the Steelers letting Big Ben go in, going after Bridgewater? Yeah, I think I don't understand the whole big notion that Big Ben can still play. I don't get that. Did anyone see him before he got... The guy got hurt because he threw a football. No contact. Threw a football. And then he got hurt. Like, I don't. And this guy, even beforehand, he was just shooting Toradol into his veins just so he could get out onto the field every day. It's like, I don't get the Ben Roethlisberger thing that he could still play. The Steelers are for sure going to need to find something new. I wouldn't be surprised at that. But the whole thing with the Rivers is better than Carr. Rivers has always been good because he was given the free reign to do whatever he wanted in terms of dropping back, staying. Like, he's been a very good, composed quarterback in the pocket, one of the best at that. I mean, he's obviously not a quick mover, so he has to be good in the pocket and getting the ball out quickly. But he's been given free reign to do whatever he wants. John Gruden's offense, it kind of restricts the quarterback doing these short intermediate passes. It's what Derek Carr is used to, and I don't know if Phillip Rivers would be used to that sort of thing. I don't know if he'd thrive in the sort of offense that John Gruden would draw up. Maybe, and I could be completely wrong. And I mean, we've only seen Phillip Rivers in a Charger uniform in a change of atmosphere and a change of scenery is what he would need to thrive. But I just don't see it happening with that. I could see him doing it with the Bears because Matt Nagy is a very new age head coach and a guy who could probably draw up new schemes for Phillip Rivers and is always willing to adapt. I don't know if Phillip Rivers would want to go to a team where their head coach is super set on their ways. Yeah, from the 650. You keep saying another Super Bowl because you kept teasing us about a veteran quarterback free agent. We knew it wasn't about Brady. Yeah, I kept on saying another Super Bowl or a Super Bowl again. Oh, my goodness. I don't know why. It just seems like with all the years that Phillip Rivers has been in football and the limited number of quarterbacks that have been in the Super Bowl in the past 20 years, you know, ever since the start of the whole reign with Tom Brady and the Patriots, it's always felt like Phillip Rivers should have been one of those guys that would be holding a ring or be having a ring on his finger. I don't know. Crazy. From the 415, Andre Iguodala should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, clutch and finals MVP. That's a whole conversation. I think he should be a Hall of Famer, but, you know, if you look at just the straight up stats in the box score, it doesn't always pan out. But again, he's like one of those Draymond Green types where the stats and the box score don't always show the impact that he had on the court. Here in Golden State, we understand that, but I don't think a lot of people would get what he would do on a day-to-day basis. They saw it in the finals, obviously, against the Cavs, but on a day-to-day sort of regular season thing, we saw that here since 2012, and I feel like that would kind of hinge him a little bit from being a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he should be. He was a plus 28 on the floor last night, by the way. From the 510, Phillip Rivers to the Bears would be his best chance at a Super Bowl. That's the curious team to watch out for because they also need to get their run game going with David Montgomery and Tariq Cohen to see how that pans out. I thought Jordan Howard would be that guy. He was still relatively young, but then he left and went to the Eagles. Man. From the 408, do you think he's a poor man's Dan Marino? That's about as close of a comparison as you could think of, right? Except Dan Marino's more of one of the best of all time. And Phillip Rivers, yeah, poor man's Dan Marino is probably a perfect way to describe him. Man, that's actually a really good one. Poor man's Dan Marino. I think Phillip Rivers could be a better actor than Dan Marino, though. Shout out Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. Okay, coming up, I do want to get to this new MLB playoff format and see what and just see what any of you think about it. If you even want any changes, if this would pique your interest, they're trying to do anything they can to get the ratings up, to get viewership up. But I don't know if this is the actual solution. We'll have our interview of the day, and then I want to close out the show by getting to something that Ryan McDonough said on the show yesterday about a trade involving, he's on radio.com, sports NBA insider, and he would join Joe Lowe and Dibs yesterday and had a relatively controversial take around Andrew Wiggins and the Golden State Warriors. I want to get to all that coming up leading into Joe Lowe and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Three generations, 65 years of experience, and seven Bay Area locations give us the winning edge. When you succeed, we succeed. That's GoldenStateLumber.com. All right, so this whole baseball playoff format change, I'm going to get to Tim Roy, Warriors play-by-play man. He was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday. He talked about the legacy of Andre Iguodala. We'll get to that interview in just a second here. And from the Chilton Autobody text line, from the 925, Rivers was traded for Eli. Remember that, Steven. Yeah, you remember when Eli wanted out of San Diego as soon as he was holding up that jersey at the draft stage. With one of the... It just sparked a whole bunch of Eli disinterested face type memes where, I mean, this guy, I don't know if Eli Manning, I think he leads the NFL, I think all time, leads the NFL in still photos of his face just looking confused or uninterested. Maybe Jay Cutler's a close second, but Eli Manning, leads the NFL in that category all time. And him holding up that Chargers jersey with that fake smile, looking like Chandler from Friends trying to smile for a photograph. Yeah. And that's actually a what-if scenario for sure. That's a big what-if I think, in football history. What if Eli did stay with the Chargers? Would he have even been where he's at now, to the point where people are saying he should be in the Hall of Fame because of those Super Bowls that he won? That's a big what if in NFL folklore. So that's an interesting one. But so baseball. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to change the playoff format. And this was from the New York Post originally. The New York Post had this report that they want to change it so that instead of having just five playoff teams, where they have the top three division winners and the two wild card teams go at it in a one game playoff and then go on to the division series, the championship series, and then the World Series. They want seven teams total. So instead of just having two divisions with the with their second best teams as wild card teams, they also want to add the other division's wild card team, the other division's second best team, and then the third best team in one of these divisions as a wild card team. And the bottom three records of those wild cards would not have any home games. They would be on the road. And how it would work is the top team in the division would have a bye, basically like a first round bye in football. And they already have that bye. They don't have to play in a wild card round. So really, the three teams already in the division, they already have a quote unquote bye. But anyway, the top in this playoff format, the team with the best record in each league. So say last year it would have been the Astros, and the other in the NL it would have been the Dodgers. But it would have been so they would have a first round bye. And basically what would happen is the team with the second best record, which in the AL's case would be the Yankees, they would have picked between those bottom three wild card teams among who they would want to play. And then the next best team, the next division winner, they would pick the next wild card team up, and then the remaining two teams would play each other. So basically, if you're an A's fan, how I would describe this is the A's wouldn't have a choice in who they'd play in this seven-team format. This is tough to explain on radio. I'm trying to do it as best as I can. But basically, the A's would be in a wild card game, but they wouldn't choose their team. It would just all depend on who the division winners chose. And then they would have this whole little pick. They would make it into a reality TV show. And they would have these division winners pick who they want to play. And then there's strategy involved, and they're trying to get viewership up, and they're trying to expand this thing to seven teams. And they would make these wild card games three-game series each. So instead of having just a one-game playoff like we do now between two teams, there would be three-game series. There would be a total of nine games in a wild card round. And then they'd move on to the division stuff, and then they move on to the championship series, and so on. So this is, I don't get what they're trying to do besides draw in viewers. And even so, I don't know how this sort of new playoff format would do that. We are so entranced by reality television, and I'm just going to tell you right here at 5:42 in the morning, I'm a fan of shows like, you know, I'm a fan of The Bachelor. I've been watching it. Not a good season this year for me, but I've been watching it. I haven't enjoyed it this year, but with Peter as a new Bachelor, but Pilot Pete, whatever. But this sort of thing, I don't need a reality TV show in sports. I'm good with where it's at now. I like this one game do or die to get into the postseason between the two second best teams in each league. And then they go ahead and play the division winners. I kind of like that. I've enjoyed that format. And it, just to make changes to it, I get it. But it would just be way too much. It would be way too much. And this could work if they plan on expanding the league in general to to even more teams than they already have. But it's just like, for me, it'd be just, you'd be rewarding. It just feels like any team could really it feels like any team in the mid-level could get in, and it just wouldn't make for entertaining baseball to me. There's so much there is so much disparity within baseball right now as far as the best teams and the teams that are, say, third in the division. And in a three-game series, I don't know, it just wouldn't do much for me. It really wouldn't do much. And from the 415, if baseball does this new playoff format, they will have officially jumped the shark. They will have officially gotten into desperation mode. The reason the XFL is trying out these new rules is because they're trying to do whatever they can to draw NFL viewers in, something that's different from the NFL product. And baseball is clearly trying to do something where they're trying to create something new out of their product that they hope would bring in fans. But ultimately, baseball's baseball. You know, they got the core of fans, and they're good with the ratings may be down, but they're still good with their TV deals and everything like that. So that's not going to be an issue. It's just, I don't know. More games for me, I don't know if that's going to bring in more viewers. I'm still going to watch baseball regardless because I'm a big baseball fan. But I just they need to do something along the lines of, and exactly, from the 707. Is it too much? They should just focus on stopping cheaters. Exactly. Just do something to put an end to whatever new cheating craze is going to pop up in baseball. Don't try and create something just to bring in more viewers. If you want more viewers, let the players juice again. Even though they didn't really let them, they just did it in secret. But just let them juice, whatever. That'll bring in everybody. There's in order to get more viewers into baseball, the whole style needs to change. You know, every game is just, there's not much excitement to it. You know, there you got one home run in an inning, and that's how they'll get their run. You know, there's no more excitement as to how these teams get runs anymore, and they're doing it at a pace that's more than ever with these home runs. And it's, home runs used to be exciting, but now I think we're realizing that the way getting your runs through small ball, through line drives, through doubles, through, you know, base hits, plays at the plate, things like that, plays, you know, teams going for triples and having a player like a, you know, remembering like Ricky Henderson sliding into third head first, not knowing if the outfielder was even going to get the ball there. Like, there were so many more things that were just exciting about baseball. I don't think a new playoff format is what they're going to need. Okay. Tim Roy was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. I'm going to play a portion of his interview today. That'll be our interview of the day. And we do this every day at about 5:40, 5:45, depending on when we get to it, or if I rant about baseball's new playoff format. Right now it's 5:47. But Tim Roy joined Damon Ratto and Kolsky to talk a little bit about Andre Iguodala and this year's Warriors.
Were you surprised, not that he ended up in Miami, but that Memphis was as willing at the end to move him? Because I always got the sense that they were willing to pay him to get nothing rather than make a deal that they weren't going to like.
I think what happens when you get close to the deadline, there becomes more pressure to make deals like that with a guy like that. So I think Memphis said, okay, well, if we're going to make a deal, then let's bring back some guys that we want. Justice Winslow kind of fits with what they're trying to do there. They've got two guys they're building around right away, Jaren Jackson Jr. and John Morant. So Winslow's young enough to fit with that growth pattern. And so I think they said, okay, well, we'll take him off your hands, and you get Andre, and they made all the money work. And so I think they were ready to sit out the season, but I think when they got close to the deadline in Miami, you know, showed some interest, they said, okay, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this, you know, the way we want to do it. And that was to bring back a young talent. And so, you know, Miami, as Pat Riley has been quoted, they're all about right now. They don't want to waste any of Jimmy Butler's remaining years, and they want to try to go after a title. So I think the two kind of found a nice marriage in between.
So hypothetically, if it had been the Lakers, they might have said, nah, we're not giving them to you. And sort of that weird sort of New Orleans up yours that,
well,
we saw a year
ago. I think Memphis, if they went to the Lakers, they would say, okay, we want Kuzma. And I don't think the Lakers are ready to part with Kuzma. I think that would have been the deal for Memphis that would have made sense.
Tim Roy, voice of the Golden State Warriors, brought to you by Mancini's Sleep World, simply the best night's sleep. So if I'm Andrew Wiggins, I'm getting a good night's sleep after my Warriors debut. It wasn't a win, but he showed, I thought, an awful lot for a guy who meets half of his team. Well, he meets the entire team 48 hours before he plays with them, meets the end of the bench 15 minutes before the game's tipping off. Maybe they got a cup of coffee. Maybe they you know, had a minute to talk. But for a guy who doesn't know anyone here, doesn't know the system, I thought he had an incredibly efficient, hey, how are you performance under the worst of circumstances. Like, not only do you have to wear Bayesian and blend with a new team, but you got Anthony Davis and LeBron James up your rear end all night.
Yeah.
And he was good.
He was good. He played well. I mean, he looked very relaxed. I thought he'd be a little uptight and force a lot of things. He really didn't do that. So I'm anxious to see how he fits in. I think he'll be a better fit. He's already a better fit at the position than, say, D'Angelo Russell would have been when the Warriors were healthy, because then they'd either have to start really small and go with Clay at three. Well, Clay's good enough to play threes. You know, he can guard a lot of guys. But I think this makes more sense for them long term. You know, and let's see. You know, I think it's. I said this on the day of the deadline. I think it's a little test of the culture of the Warriors. You know, they want to be like the Spurs. This is a great way to show you that you're on that kind of track, because as these guys get older and move on, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, the next 5-7 years, then, you know, Andrew Wiggins will be there, and this will be his time to shine. So I think it's a very interesting move, and we all forget how young these guys are. I mean, he's only 24.
Right.
He's
you
got
know,
a lot of basketball left.
And the thing is, too, Tim, is we just have so many people putting just noise in the wind and speaking with vivid authority on a player they're still unfamiliar with beyond whatever stats they look at. Because I can promise you this, unless you're from the greater St. Paul area, you're not watching a lot of Timberwolves hoops. Even if you have the ticket, you're not watching an awful lot of season pass Timberwolves hoops. And people talk about Wiggins so concretely as if we've seen hundreds of games when we've seen an awful lot of box scores and just a few highlights one way or the other. Did you have a formed opinion about who you thought Wiggins was? And are you willing to extend more benefit of the doubt to him now because situations dictate careers as much as talent?
Well, as an expert on non-playoff teams, I know what happens to young players who get drafted really high and they go to a team that maybe isn't that good. And so they feel like they have to go out, and sometimes they're right, have to go get 30 in order for their team to have a chance to win. And I think that's the kind of trap he got pulled into, I think. And because of the fact that he was the number one pick, there's more pressure on a guy like that. So I looked at him as a player that could be more efficient. And he's more efficient this year. He's having his best year. You know, his assist ratio is up above his career average. And so I think that's what happens. And I think the fact that he's only 24, if you had traded for a guy like this and he's 30, well, he is who he is at that point. That's who he is. And I think he's got a chance to expand his career here. I think they'll give him whatever help he needs to become a better defender. And I think being the third option on this team will be a lot easier for him to be more efficient than being the number one option or the number two option.
So if I'm a Warrior fan sitting at home watching this next 29 games, how do I judge what I should feel about that fit when I'm not seeing him for the most part with the guys he's going to be playing next to?
Yeah, I think you just got to look at it in terms of, you know, what is he doing, say, even off the ball? You know, is he moving? Is he creating a shot for somebody else? What is he doing on the defensive end? How is he getting better in these final 29 games? And it's weird. You know, he gets over 20 a night, but I keep reading about it. He doesn't have a motor. But he must be a heck of a scorer if he doesn't have
Not
a motor
cruise
to get 20
control
a night in this league. I mean, it's especially when you're you're game planned. You know, in the shoot-arounds, if you're talking about Minnesota, you're game planning Towns, you're game planning Wiggins. So, I don't know. We'll see. I think that's the kind of thing. You judge, look at it, see how much he gets better, and wait to see how the fit kind of evolves. I think the first couple months of next season will be really fascinating to watch.
All right, you can catch the rest of that interview at 957thegame.radio.com, or, of course, you can download the radio.com app and favorite 957 The Game, why don't you? You know, last night when I was watching this game as the Warriors fell to the Heat 113-101, when I was watching this game, I was interested to see how Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins would interact with each other. Because when he was in Minnesota, when Jimmy Butler was, and he went off in that practice and, you know, had that interview and did the whole thing, had that whole fiasco, and it was NBA drama at its finest, and we were all looking at Jimmy Butler like, what are you doing, man? And one of the reasons was, as everything came out, he was going off at practice, and the two guys that everybody pointed to were Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. And Jimmy Butler came out and said that these guys don't have it. They don't have the want to, as Lowe likes to say. They don't have that, they don't have that dying need to win. And Andrew Wiggins was at the forefront of that because he was making so much money. But then on the court, it seemed like they were on good terms. You know, and they were laughing it up and everything, and maybe I'm just reading too much into that, but it's just how much of Jimmy Butler's outrage was truly directed at Andrew Wiggins. I don't know if Jimmy Butler would have been joking around with that guy if he thought that if he was a primary reason as to why he left the Minnesota Timberwolves. And maybe I could be wrong, and Jimmy Butler just is a cool dude and would... And it doesn't really, that's a pass of the, that the pass is the pass and water's under the bridge and whatnot. But I didn't expect them to, you know, kind of look like old teammates who were friends, kind of laughing it up like Draymond and Andre Iguodala were pregame. No, that's just kind of where I was at. Ryan McDonough, radio.com sports NBA insider. He joined Joe Lowndes yesterday and he threw this idea out there. After one game, this was after the Lakers, this was right before the Heat game, Ryan McDonough joined Joe Lowndes to talk about Andrew Wiggins' future with the Warriors.
The chance that Andrew Wiggins never plays a game in a Warriors uniform alongside Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I think Golden State's main motivation in the trade was the pick, the first-round pick they got from Minnesota in 2021 that's only protected at 3. And I think there's a chance that Golden State uses that pick, along with their own first-round pick this year, which is slotted in the top 5, to see if they can upgrade and get a better player than Andrew Wiggins as soon as this summer.
And then Joe followed up with the question, well, who would be the guy that they would look for?
I think the best player who may be available is Bradley Beal in Washington. And here's why. He signed an extension this offseason, so he was not eligible to be traded prior to the trade deadline. However, that restriction is lifted this summer, so he is eligible. So I'd be very interested to see on both sides what the Warriors front office thinks and also what Washington's front office thinks if Golden State were to put Andrew Wiggins and both of those picks in play. And I don't think this is something the Warriors would do until after the lottery. But if the Warriors said, we'll give you Wiggins, our own pick, let's say, guys, it's not number one. Let's say it's number two or three. That pick and Minnesota's first for Bradley Beal. And then I think if the Warriors look at it, they could bump Klay Thompson down to the small forward. And, you know, they return to the elite shooting and scoring team that they've had the past 5 years when they went to 5 NBA finals and won 3 championships.
See, this is where I was confused with what he was saying. I wouldn't understand why the Warriors would make that move for Bradley Beal if they just said the reason that they traded D'Angelo Russell is because he's not a fit since he's a guard. And if it was just as simple as bumping Klay Thompson down to small forward, then there wouldn't have been a need to trade for Andrew Wiggins in the first place. But there are some great free agents, not even just in this class, but in 2021 as well, ones that aren't superstars. I think the Warriors for sure compiled a lot of these picks so that they can get a guy for depth, you know, or even a big time center who really, they really don't have much value in this league anymore. I think that you can use those draft picks alone. You don't have to use any of these players on the Warriors. Draymond had 3 assists to Wiggins alone last night. Now, even though the Warriors didn't win the game, it's still something to keep an eye on. So they've worked well together in their one game that they had. And we have the NBA All-Star break coming up here, so we're not going to see it back for a little while, but it's going to be something to keep an eye on. I think that they're not going to trade Wiggins. I don't think they're going to do that, but I definitely think they're going to trade their picks for someone major. I don't know if it's going to be a guy like Bradley Beal. I actually really like Bradley Beal. I like him as a scorer, and he's been really good in Washington when John Wall's been hurt and making $40 million a year. But overall, I think that they can trade any of the compilation of second-rounders that they have and those 2 first-rounders they got, that 2021 they got from the Timberwolves. I think they could use those and trade for some pieces if they don't like what they see in the draft. In the draft after Wiseman, it's kind of questionable, according to some GMs. All right, coming up, Ray Ratto is going to be joining Joe Lo and Dibs at 8:15, then Gary St. Jean at 8:30, Anthony Slater at 9:05, and John Morosi at 9:30 to talk about that playoff format. Thanks for joining me, everybody.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.